Welcome to the Think Transition podcast with me, Hugo Langton, and Akusti Salonen, a 10-minute podcast discussing all things football coaching. Welcome back again to a new episode of the Think Transition podcast. As always, with me, Hugo, and of course, the main man himself, Akusti. Hi, mate.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. We've got an interesting discussion this morning, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, in inverted commas, I think it's the right way to put it, passing exercises in training or match day warm-ups or whatever it may be. So where do we begin with this, mate?
So let's first describe the passing. Mm-hmm. That should be always when there's an opening, then you do passing. If you do without opponent, then it's kicking, because your decision-making and execute the decisions are different than when there is a communication. In this situation, it's an opponent.
So what we're saying, what we're trying to say is then, like, just say I have the ball and yeah. I want to pass it to you. You know, if I do that in a match, in a game situation, then obviously I've got to take into consideration where my opponent is.
Yeah, so then, you are communicating with me and yeah. with opponent.
Okay. But then, so if I'm in, you know, maybe I've got a different option. So you're my one option and one of our teammates is another option. So yeah. I may not pass it to you. So I may pass it to the other teammate, just depending on where the opponent is. So I'm communicating not just with you, but also I'm communicating with our other teammate. But yes. also I'm looking at... But then I'm checking the communication of my opponent as well, which will help me to make my decision.
Yeah, and then you do the decision. Is it correct one? It depends the situation, and it depends of your executive decision. But basically, if you have two own players, you have decision what you have to make. But if we do the kicking without opponents, then the decision is more from the coach, because he's telling you where to pass and how to pass. Yeah.
So basically, what you mean by kicking, you're saying kicking as opposed to passing, all right? In the sense that because there's no opponent, if I wanted to give you the ball and there's no opponent, I'm not really passing to you. I'm just kicking it to you.
Yeah,
but because yeah.
You remember when you were young, you went out to kicking a ball with your friend. You didn't went there to passing the ball with your friend.
No, I used a brick wall a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, so you're kicking with the
ball.
Wall
against the brick wall. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, what you've just touched on is by saying, like, you know, we see a lot of what people call passing drills when actually it's something else. Maybe when, like you've just said there. Let's just say there's four of us now, and we're set out in our coach has set out four cones, maybe in a diamond, right?
Yeah.
And he says, right, I want you to pass to there, then you pass to him, you then pass to him, and then come back to me. So we go all the way around the diamond.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so what the coach is actually telling us to do is what he wants us to do.
Yeah. He is.
So then if we transfer that from our training ground to 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, for example, are we actually going to do that? So he's asking us to execute his decision, whereas in a game, it may make more sense for me, rather than pass to you to my right, for example, to pass to my teammate on the left.
Yes, exactly. It depends of the opponent, where they are positioned and how they are defending. If they are close to that player on the right, is it wise to play to him, or wise to play to left, because you can open
or
with
forward.
One pass or forward? Or that's
to
always
the
first.
Diamond.
That should be always the first option. Always play as forward as you can. Then shorter.
So, but then people listening to this would argue, all right, so now we're talking about playing 4v0, really, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then we're saying, well, okay, if it's say 4v1 or 4v2, okay, They go, well, hang on a minute. That's not passing. That's possession football. That's like a little. They'd almost perhaps go. Isn't that not like what people call rondos?
You are right. That's close to. But in this case, we still have those four cones, like in 4-0. But now we have two defenders, and those players who are on cones, they try to stay as close to cones as possible. So it's not 4-2 rondo, because still we have some structure where they should be, and that based on our playing style. Let's say now it's diamond rule. So those players execute the decisions and actions, football actions, without the ball on those cones. And that way they create chance to play as forward as possible. So, and there's there's always one or two goals.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So there's a direction where they're going to pass the ball.
Realistically, if I'm the guy at the bottom of the diamond, and you know, in the way our cones are set out as a diamond, and you're the guy at the top of the diamond, and I manage to pass the ball through the two players defending to you, you know, in a game on the Saturday again, or whenever everyone's team plays, you're not then going to pass backwards to come back to me, because otherwise we're back to where we started. So we're taking away the realism of the game.
Yeah.
So it might be that if I can play my pass between the two defenders to you, you could then either turn them and then play forward into a small goal, or you could set one of the other two of our teammates to play forward. So that way it becomes more like football.
Yeah, we can think about the bottom player is a central defender.
Yeah.
Left side player is our fullback.
Yeah.
Right side player is, let's say, our defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
And top player is our striker.
And the bottom one's centre-back.
Yeah. So we have a diamond. Now we can imagine that diamond. And those two goals, you could put one goal to left side, and that could be our winger.
Yeah.
And another goal could be our second striker or number 10.
Yeah.
So we get those goals present to players on the field, but we have less number of players in this exercise.
Mm.
So, and we want to create the direction where we want to play. And if we do that from Monday, Tuesday, Thursday to Friday, every training, and then we can play on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's one checkpoint especially for youth coaches.
Yeah.
Does those players create first diamond, and then do they work on a way what we work during a week?
So also it's probably important to add here to point out that by we set our diamond out and we've done it position specific, what that's doing is then it's making your teammates more predictable.
Yeah.
When it comes to the match. So you start to understand the cues and the things that the little things that their body movements do, that you know what that player is going to do.
Yeah, let's say our left fullback is player who's standing still, but you know he's doing that. You play on the right side and that opens the space for him.
Yeah.
And you can play for him. But our defensive midfielder is really the player who understands the game and he knows where's the space. And he creates by his actions, he creates space for himself, so where you can play. So you don't play to him to feed, you can play a little bit more forward or backward.
That one thing that, sometimes I've mentioned on Twitter, for example, that's that 4-0 is nice, or that 6-0 kicking drill, very nice. I said, the players are only executing a decision of the coach.
Yeah.
And when I have sort of questioned it, the comment I get back is, but it's great for a warm-up. Now, what do we think about that?
You could use it. If you see your players passing or kicking, in this case, is not on the level you want, sometimes you can influence that during a warm-up part.
Mm.
But as soon you realize, okay, the level is now in a certain level, we can move and take some, maybe one defender, which is still easy, 4v1, is still easy to play passing exercise. Yeah. And when it's too easy, you put the second defender when it's getting harder.
Yeah. I suppose the other way you got to look at it, and we've discussed this before, you know, is that if you play 4v0, you know, if we play 4v1, right, it's generally quite easy for the players, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so see, it's easy for the four players to play around the one in the middle. So then the question is, why would you go 4v0? If 4v1 is already easy for the players to execute, then why would you take that one away and then make it a kicking exercise? You know, that's the logical argument.
And even more easier. That's a good question. And I hope the coaches who are listening reflecting that by themselves.
Mm.
Because that's the question you have to answer by yourself. I can't give that answer. You can't give that answer. Everybody have to understand it.
If 4v1 is difficult, then maybe you do in some scenarios. But so tell me, obviously we've been talking off air as well a lot, and you know you're working with your team in Finland, and remind me, you're kind of showing your players both, aren't you?
I'm gonna do that, yes, because we need to do them some. Because they have used to do a lot of kicking exercise, and now I bring a passing exercise for them.
Yeah.
So sometimes, as a coach, you can't hit your head to the wall too many times. Sometimes you have to understand, okay, maybe taking a step back could give me some solutions to solve that problem. And now I think maybe going one step back and take the opponents off for training or two, and just to show them, okay, this is what we're going to do if there's no opponents. This is totally different. You don't have to make decisions. And then I can go back. So that's also a learning moment for the players. They realize, implicit learning that, okay, now we don't have an opponent. This is too easy. Let's go back that.
And I'm sure the feedback they'll give you will be, well, with opponents better because I'm having to make a decision myself.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to playing in a game, every time you get the ball, because you have 11 opponents, you have to continually make decisions.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. And coach can't tell you everything during 90 minutes.
I hear some coaches a lot.
Yeah,
it's like they have a PlayStation controller on the side of the pitch.
They must be really good on PlayStation.
All right, we've gone over time. I knew we would do today. This is it's a great topic. I know I say this every week, but it's also about challenging people to think logically now. Think about the game, you know, rather than go round and round in circles in kicking drills with no opponent. What are you actually trying to do? You know, and if you manage to get the ball from what would be your centre back to your number 10 in a diamond pass, a diamond passing exercise, as we call it, is he really going to come all the way around the diamond to go back down to you? So I think we're trying to challenge people to think about the realism and the logic of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I'm doing for myself. Every time I criticize my training, every time I criticize my exercise, what I'm doing for the players. And that's the only way to develop as a coach.
Brilliant. Well, a great note to leave that on there, mate. So anyway, we'll be back again next week. We welcome any feedback, please, because I know the people out there will disagree with it. You know, we're not trying to create the opposed v unopposed argument, all right, because that will just go on forever. But we're trying to provoke logic amongst you guys that are listening to this, all right? So your feedback would be really interesting for us on this one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro. Okay. Well, listen, we'll be back again next week. And until then, have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you then.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Transition podcast. Mm-hmm.